and do what Jesus wanted done over there, to show love and to make a difference. Part of making a lifelong difference for those girls and for the people that are serving them. I'm very thankful. And of course, the ongoing work as Seventh-day Adventist believers is being done in our name there. It's an ADRA, Adventist Development and Relief Agency organization, that our offerings, not only your contributions to the mission trip, but our offerings that go towards ADRA, make that possible, all under the grace and goodness of our Lord. So thank you so much to everyone who helped make this happen. It's a wonderful thing, and the differences, I believe, are eternal. I should have Susie come up here and play this. I wonder if you recognize this song. I learned this song when I was probably 4 years old, maybe 3 years old. If you know it, see if you pick up. We are but a band of children. We are few and weak and small. Do you know this one? But we want to work for Jesus, and there's work enough for all. Do you know the chorus? I didn't put it up there. We are a missionary band, We are a missionary band, doing all we can. You like that song? Do you believe it? No, we're not going to sing all six verses. Don't worry. We are going to talk today a little bit, following up on this report that we've experienced, on what it means to be a missionary band. When we finished up with Mark 14 through 16 last week, I still felt a little bit incomplete because we focused on the commission that Jesus gave. You remember, if you open up Mark chapter 16, you'll see it there. The commission that he gave, we usually read it from Matthew 28, 19, and 20. And in that commission, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he talked about the signs that would accompany them. And then the follow-up report to what Jesus did. He gave the call, and then the follow-up report comes. And they, who? The disciples, they went out and preached where? Everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Don't you love that when you get to see the word that calls for something, and then you get to see that it actually happened, that it actually took place? It's kind of like our mission trip. About a year and a half or two, we started talking about this specific mission trip. You started hearing little bits of news. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. You hear about the group going. And now we got to hear the group went. The people were ministered to. The fence was built. This is like that. Jesus said, go and preach the gospel to all creatures. And here it says, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. And we, when we look at the Great Commission, when we look at this call, we get to whatever degree, some slight and some overwhelmingly, we sense that call in our own heart. What can I do to fulfill this that Jesus has called us to? And many times we get feeling frustrated and futile as we make our attempts and as we don't see the results that we're hoping for, as we don't see the things happening in people's lives changing quickly or sometimes even slowly the way we hope that it would. We feel ineffective. We feel powerless. Sometimes we go out and we spread the word in different ways and we wonder why people don't just believe it when we hand them the right tract, for example, or when we invite them to the right meeting. We wonder why they don't grab onto it and why they don't run with it. So many messages are going around the world today, aren't they? Do you feel the barrage like I do? And of course, today, a lot of times, people are talking about the political messages that are firing this way and that way, causing all kinds of carnage and don't care what people think, what people feel, or anything people saying. But religiously, all kinds of messages are going all over, aren't they? On the radio waves, on the television, over the internet, all kinds of words. And the question I would ask you, as we think about, well, we have the message, we have the three angels' messages, which is a prophetic message centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ for every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. Why aren't people responding and believing us when we give that message, when we do give that message? Why aren't people responding and just believing us? Well, put yourself, I would say, in other people's position, but put yourself in your own position. At all of the religious claims and religious messages that are going back and forth across our attention. A meme on Instagram, a Facebook long message, a television program of a preacher preaching, some doing amazing, weird-looking things. How do you sort through to see who is believable? And anymore, we used to be able to say, well, show me from the Bible. Show me from the Bible, and I'll believe you. And I pray that each one of us here today are in that position where we would say, show me from the Bible, and I'll believe you. That's how Jesus taught when he taught about his own resurrection. He taught those two disciples on the road to Emmaus from the Bible so that they would believe from the Bible. But I want to tell you, I want to give you a news flash. The Bible is not a given in our society anymore. In America, used to be, if you could prove it from the Bible, you'd stand a good chance with a lot of people of saying, oh yeah, now I see that that's what it says. Wow, I never realized that before. How come nobody taught me? And people come to engage and enjoy the blessing of the Sabbath. People come to engage and see the prophetic, the amazing prophetic tracts that lead to our time and thankfully lead beyond to the glorious coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the glorious kingdom that he will bring us to and the new earth and all of those things. But the Bible is not a given anymore as people sort out who to believe. And so we just are another crazy voice out there saying, believe us. Believe our message. And even believe this book. And the world doesn't care. The world doesn't notice. The world doesn't respond the way that we hope that they would. Let's look again at that passage about the success of the disciples as they heard the call of Jesus and as they went out and preached everywhere. What's the other element besides their preaching that made them believable? That made them stand out? Yes, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. That's what made the disciples stand out. I want you to go with me to the day of Pentecost, for example, and see how it worked in the book of Acts. Many of you are fresh off of studying the book of Acts, aren't you? Many of you are kind of fresh off of studying the book of Acts, aren't you? Within the last 6 months. In the Sabbath school, wasn't it about Acts? By the way, Acts is the full unfolding of our verse for today, isn't it? Of Mark 16:20. So on the day of Pentecost, what happens? They're all in one accord in one place. What had they been doing, by the way? They had been praying, right? That's something to think about, isn't it? When we look for how can we have the Lord working with us like the Lord was working with them, they were continuous in prayer. They were persistent in prayer together. And then The Holy Spirit was poured out on them. Now, if the people had been in the room, they would have seen the tongues of fire, the amazing tongues of fire, and all those kinds of things. But the people on the street, what did they hear? What did they hear? Well, they might have heard the rumbling, but what did they hear that they actually spoke and responded to? They heard the word in their own languages. There were people in Jerusalem from all over the Roman Empire there for the Passover time and the subsequent feasts, and they heard the word in their own language as the Holy Spirit spoke through the disciples. And so the people start talking among themselves, saying, what's going on here? And like good scientists, of course, they put together the data and they came up with theories to explain the data that came to them, right? So they see non-educated, non-dressed like rabbi people speaking world languages fluently and coherently, giving them a message. And what do they do with that data? They say, okay, so we have people speaking in different languages. They don't look like people who could speak different languages. They're drunk. That was their theory. They're drunk. So what was Peter's task under the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Peter got up and he explained to them what was going on in terms of the good news about Jesus. First, God did something that demanded explanation. And then Peter, anointed by the Holy Spirit, got up and explained what was happening in terms of the good news about Jesus. He said, you see what's happening here? These people aren't drunk. This Jesus that you crucified, he rose from the dead. He sent his Spirit, and this is what's happening in fulfillment of prophecy, who said, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. He said, this is what's happening. And so then they were ready to hear the word of God because they saw the work of God. Does that make sense? They were ready to hear the word of God when they saw the work of God. And so that's exactly what happened. And you know, this was part of what took place, described so shortly and succinctly in Mark 16:20, that they believed and 3,000 were added to the gathering of believers in Jesus on that one day. Why? Because they saw the work of God, and then by hearing the word of God, they were able to understand what happened. I like to say, I stand alone on the Word of God. I like to say, shouldn't it be enough just to proclaim the Word? But I'm telling you, at this time, as ever before and as never before, people need to see the work of God if they are to believe the Word of God. And God has put you and me here to be his instruments so that they can see the work of God and be ready to respond with believing in the Word of God and believing, of course, most of all, in the Word who is God, Jesus Christ. I remind you of something I've reminded you over and over again from the book Christ's Object Lessons, page 143. Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. Is there any other method that will give true success in reaching the people than Christ's method? Christ's method alone will give, and I love it that it says, true success. Can you have other kinds of successes without Christ's method? Oh, I'm sad to say, yes, you can. You can sweep people along with emotional ups and downs. You can hype people up into temporary kinds of successes, but not true success. Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. What did people experience when the Savior mingled with them? What of God did they experience? They experience the love of God. Do you see that? When people understand you to be for their good, when you people understand and experience you in a way that they know that you only want to help, that you only want things to go well in their lives, that you only want them to experience blessing and every good thing God has in mind for them, that is a manifestation of the love of God. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. The love of God was manifested through them. He showed his sympathy for them. Wow, that's getting in shorter and shorter supply in the world, isn't it? People long for people to have sympathy for them. And with a political and other discourse in our society, people are getting shoved off as, no, I have no sympathy for you. You right-wing nut, you lib, you snowflake. You know what I'm talking about? People are shoving people off with meanness, with cruelty, dismissing people as nothing because they don't agree with me, whatever my perspective. When Jesus was among people, he showed his sympathy for them. And you know what? I think he would have even used social media that way. I don't think he would have sat at his computer firing off fiery darts at people who disagreed with him. He mingled with people as one who desired their good, and he showed his sympathy for them. And then it wasn't just words and feelings, was it? It wasn't just words and feelings. It's wonderful when you can feel like someone is for you. It's wonderful when you experience them and you realize that they have an understanding for what you're going through and they care about it and they let you know that through their words. But then it says, he ministered to their needs. And by doing these three things, he won their confidence. And then he bade them, follow me. Now you might say, Pastor, I read between the Great Commission in Mark 16 and Mark 16:20. And there's a lot of supernatural things in there that you're not covering in this. Well, I'll share with you and I'll tell you, I believe as God's Spirit is poured out in latter rain power, that we are going to have more of those kinds of things happening. More miracles, supernatural miracles. But I'll tell you what, are there miracles happening in the world today? True ones and false ones? Absolutely. Miracles in and of themselves aren't necessarily proof that it's the work of God. But this right here, consistent with the Word of God, is the work of God. And God is calling us. Some people, when we want to brighten our corner, when we want to do amen clinics, when we want to participate in Love Lodi, feel like, shouldn't we be investing our resources more in books and prophecy seminars and things like that? And the fact of the matter is, God is not calling us to cut back on books and prophecy seminars. He's calling us to bump up doing the works of God. He's not calling us to back down on the Word of God. He's calling us to bump up, to raise up, to do the works of God commensurate as a foundation so that people will believe the words of God. The need of people for the Word of God doesn't make their need for us to do the works of God less. It makes it more. The same one who wrote these words called the Adventist believers over and over, get back to Isaiah chapter 58, that calls us to feed the hungry, that calls us to take in the homeless, and to do all of these works of God so that people are ready to receive the Word of God. So I'm so thankful for our group, our missionary band that went over to Thailand and did the works of God. And the ADRA staff there, on an ongoing basis, are giving the Word of God, even as those girls experience the work of God. And as people in the society around there that see the work of God being done there, it paves the way, it opens the doors for the Word of God. But I want to tell you, you might say to yourself, oh, I wished I could have gone on the Thailand mission trip, but I didn't have the money, or I didn't have the time, or I can't ask people to make contributions so that I could go. You know, some people raised the money and everything. The good news is you don't have to go to Thailand. We will have future mission trips, and I will encourage you to pray and ask God if you're meant to go on them, and He will pave the way so you'll have all the resources to go wherever you need to go. Just like Paul was able to get over from Galatia to Macedonia when he had that vision saying, come over to Macedonia and help him, help us. He didn't worry about whether he would have the resources. When he had the call of God, he knew that he would be able to do it. So we'll have future mission trips, Lord willing, and you will be, if God is calling you, you will be able to go. But right now, I hope this doesn't come across as a commercial. This is a heart call right now that I'm giving to you. We have opportunities right here, right now, in Lodi to do the work of God, to pave the way for the Word of God. We don't do these works so that we can build up our membership lists and get more contributions and all of these kinds of things. We do this because we believe that God has placed us here to love people, to love them in the needs that they experience here and now, needs in their family, needs in our community that community leaders can sense and are looking for ways to meet. And God calls us to love the people of our community and do things just because we love them. And then He calls us to love them even more, such that we're chafing at the bit for the opportunity to share with them the Word of God so that they can know Jesus, so that they can know forgiveness, so that they can know purpose in life, and so that they can know that they are ready for Jesus to come. But we must do the work of God so that they know that it is God, so that they know that it's Him at work, that it's worth paying attention to. So I'm going to call. I'm going to ask you right now. If you look on this, you will see that we have 25 openings, 25 slots for our project that's a week from tomorrow, April 15, at Beckman Elementary. I think it's less than a mile from here. How far is Thailand? This is less than a mile. When we talk about brighten our corner, this is our corner. And so I would urge you, might say, I'm going to show up on Sunday, and I believe it says that three people have signed up. Thank you, Jeannie, and I forget who else. Three have signed up. Maybe I'm included in that three. But anyway, three have signed up. And I believe with all my heart that even if it stayed this way on the website until Sunday, that more of you are planning on showing up and that the registration process is just too much of a pain. But I want to tell you that the people who are leading Love Lodi, Glenn Barnes, the pastor over at First Baptist Church, guess what? They go through their website, and that's one of their ways of finding out who cares. I want them to know we care. So if you would, I would urge you to go to lovelodi.org, and up on the left-hand side of the page, click on Projects, and scroll all the way to the bottom of the Projects page, and click on the Beckman Elementary School Project. It's under the heading of Lodi Unified School District. There's two places on that, but because our project is on Sunday, we're way at the bottom of the page. And I would urge you to click on that, and you will see this page. It won't have Love Lodi on it, because I added that, and it won't have the web address there. But you will see a page that has this information on it. I would urge you, go through the registration process, because it's worth it to let our community know that we are among them as ones who desire their good. Don't you think? It's a little bit of a pain, and I don't even understand why it has to be. But do it. Do it for love. And so, anyway, I would urge you to sign up, and please show up at 8:30 on Sunday morning. And actually, Eric, I don't want to contradict you, but I would urge you just show up at Beckman Elementary School at 8:30. Don't show up here. Show up at Beckman Elementary School. It's 2201 Scarborough Drive. Show up there, and let's do the work of God. Sometimes the work of God is a healing, like you see in the book of Acts. Sometimes it's getting out a hoe or a shovel and doing something good for kids in our own neighborhood. And then, of course, George showed you the video. In just a couple weeks after that, we have our Amen Free Clinic. And praise God, we have a lot of volunteers already lined up for that. But we need some volunteers for the less glamorous work of setting up stuff, scrubbing down and taking down stuff. And that stuff needs to be done. So I would urge you to go to amenfreeclinic.org and sign up for that. And I would urge you just to so that Joe can have some peace in his heart. I mean, the Lord gives him peace, but it's making me feel even better to hear from us that he has a team to help him with these projects. This is the work of God. But this does not exhaust the work of God, because every day I would propose to you that God is bringing people across your path, and he wants you to do the work of God in their lives. It's tempting to look only outside of our own families and outside of the church. But dare I say that some of the people that we miss around here, that we say have drifted off, or we might say, I don't like this word at all, have backslidden or something, that many of them might be because we haven't done the work of God even among ourselves to the way that he would have us to do. We haven't cared for each other, that we haven't always been among each other as ones who desire each other's good, shown sympathy for one another, and ministered to one another's needs. Folks, let us do the work of God. If you are passionate about the Word of God, you've got to be passionate about the works of God. Amen. And have the Lord working with us. This is not something that we can just pull ourselves together and make happen. We do need to do like the apostles back then, like the disciples back then. We need to gather together and pray. We have a Tuesday night prayer gathering that has a handful of people. We've had small groups where people gather to pray. We don't need to all be in one group praying, but let's be in groups praying, okay? If you can make it on Tuesday night at 6:30, come and pray. If you have another time, ladies' Bible study at 3 on Tuesdays, come and pray. If you have another time, another group to get together with, let's to get together and pray and ask God to pour out his Spirit. Ask God to do the works with us. Ask God to do the works among us and through us, and confirm when we come to the world saying, we have a message for you, for our time. Jesus is coming again. Yes, the end is near. That there's something that sets it apart from a crazy person on a street with placards draped around their neck, even if that might be the way God chooses to do his work sometimes, I might say. Because the works of God are being done. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us and doing your work in us and for us through Jesus. Thank you that you have called us. Thank you that you, Jesus, promised your Spirit so that as we join together in prayer, as we ask you to do your work among us, your Spirit can be poured out. Your Spirit can give us the power, the direction, and everything that we need to do the works of God, so that the Word of God goes out with power. Father, I ask especially right now, if there is anyone here today who just needs you, who needs to know that they can be part of what you want to do in this world now, and that they can be part of your kingdom forever, that today, that they would know that Jesus came and did the works of God for us, that Jesus came and he lived a perfect life of love, ministering, and giving your word, and that he did everything that you said, and that though he had never sinned, he took our sins upon himself. As we come confessing our sin, that we are forgiven because Jesus has paid the price for that, and that he rose again in power so that we too can come to a new life, living for you, the life that you always created us for. Father, I pray that each person here today can have that assurance of being forgiven, of having eternal life, and having the power to live a new life through Jesus. I ask these things in his name. Amen.